50 days ago, we began our beautiful celebration of the season of Easter. And today we come to the final day of the season of Easter, the great solemnity of Pentecost. And I find it interesting that the same dramatic element is used at both ends, namely that of fire. We remember in the darkness of the night of Holy Saturday, 50 days ago, we gathered in sorrow on Holy Saturday at the tomb of Jesus, yet hopeful and expectant to find that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is risen from the dead, and we mark that blessed night with a great fire, the great fire of Easter. This wonderful element of nature that we use because of its unpredictable properties. It burns and goes where it wills. It's hard to contain fire. It wants to spread. How fitting then that we use this same element here at the end of our season of Easter on Pentecost. We see the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles in tongues of fire to show his spiritual presence. Indeed, this beautiful gift of the Easter fire has been with us all these 50 days in the presence of our Paschal candle, just as we lit it that night 50 days ago. So it has remained with us as this friend, this guide through the season of Easter to remind us of that beautiful night of resurrection and to recognize the presence of the risen Christ to us throughout these 50 days. The scriptures tell us that Jesus went and he appeared to his apostles in person over the course of 40 days before being taken up into heaven on Ascension Thursday. That candle, the fire of Easter, to some extent, it reminds me a little bit about the Olympics and the great devotion to the Olympic torch, and how when it comes time to celebrate the Olympics each year, there's this great relay with the Olympic flame, first kindled in Athens and carried throughout all the world. And of course, one of the highlights of the opening ceremony of the Olympics is that we light the special cauldron to hold the Olympic flame while the Olympics are going on. And then, of course, at the end of the Olympics, we solemnly extinguish that flame. Something a little bit similar we do in the church. We light that beautiful fire on Easter, and throughout the celebration of Easter, that fire burns in the column there of our Paschal candle. And then after today, indeed, we do extinguish our candle. Tomorrow, Monday, when we come for Mass, things are back to green. Easter is over. It's ordinary time. There is a parallel there with the Olympics. However, I think today's message is important for us that unlike in the Olympics, where we mark the end of the games by extinguishing the candle to show that it's over, the Olympics are done. Unlike that, in the church, although yes, we extinguish our candle today and the season of Easter ends, it's not to say that it's over now. Rather, for us, it's very much not that the games have ended, but the game really is just beginning. These 50 days have been meant to strengthen us, to prepare us to go out on the mission that really is now not over, but just beginning. It would be a sad mistake if we took these 50 days and, like the Olympics, simply now went back to what we were doing and waited 4 years for the Olympics to come around again. Hardly what the Christian life is meant to draw from this beautiful time of Easter, and especially this day of Pentecost. So what effect should this day have on us? Well, we look at the scriptures and we see, what effect did the fire of the Holy Spirit have on the apostles? Well, we know that even though Jesus had physically appeared to them and they had seen him, that they were still, after his ascension, afraid. They were locked in the upper room, not willing to go out, afraid of the Jews. Although they had the message of the good news, they had everything they needed in their heart, they knew everything they needed to know, something was missing. And so they were afraid. But on Pentecost, they received that beautiful gift of the Spirit, descending, as it were, as fire. And now they're no longer afraid. Now they go out into the streets and they preach the good news. They tell about this Jesus whom they've met, raised from the dead for 50 days, and they're not afraid. In fact, they're overjoyed. They can't stop going out and telling everybody about the good news of Jesus risen from the dead. If we want to know what we as the church are meant to take from Pentecost today, that's what we're meant to take. That we should be so filled now with the joy of Easter that we can't wait for it to just begin now, for us to burst forth from this church the way the apostles did from the upper room, to want to go out and tell everybody Jesus has died and is risen from the dead, and we're not afraid. In fact, we are overjoyed. Over these past 50 days, we've been hearing what the apostles did. Receiving the Holy Spirit, they went out to the very same people who just killed Jesus, and they go right knock on their door and say, it's us. Remember, we were the followers of Jesus that you just killed. We're here because he's back. He's risen from the dead, and we're going to tell you about him. And they beat them, and they throw them in prison, and they try to prevent them from speaking. God lets them out of prison. God sends them right back, and they knock on their door again and say, it's us. Remember, you tried to imprison us. We're back. We're here to tell you about Jesus. St. Paul famously tells us there is no chaining the word of God. That is meant to be what happens for each of us on this Pentecost day as a result of this Easter. We are, as it were, given permission to unchain the word of God, to receive the Spirit given to us in baptism and have it, as it were, rekindled that we might go out and proclaim the good news. What does it look like then when the Spirit comes? Well, much like the fire, we also have the image of wind. Wind is also a little bit intangible. You can't see wind. We see the trees move. As it says, we see where the Spirit blows, and the Spirit blows where it wills, but no one knows where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with those who are in the Spirit. Each of us will receive the Spirit for a different purpose, in a different way. As St. Paul tells us in our reading today, there are many gifts, the same Spirit. The one Spirit is given to us, but it's manifest differently in each of us. The Holy Spirit was given to Mother Teresa, who felt a call to go serve the most unfortunate and poor of the poor. The Holy Spirit was given to great warrior saints like Saint Ignatius or even Joan of Arc, who saw the Holy Spirit calling them to go out and do battle and fight for the faith physically. The Holy Spirit was given to great leaders like Pope Saint John Paul II, who God used to lead his church. The Holy Spirit was given to Saint Therese, the little flower who spent most of her life in a cloistered convent and yet prayed for the missionary work of the whole world. The Holy Spirit was given to her parents, who will be canonized, the first married couple ever to be canonized. They're living out the gifts of the Spirit. It looks different than their daughter Therese did. It looks different than Ignatius. It looks different than Joan of Arc. The Spirit is given to each of us as well. And to know what should it look like, what should our life look like in the Spirit, I don't know. But what we do know is that it has to look like something. We can't allow our faith to be contained in this little building and say, well, there, I came to Mass on the weekend and I've done what I needed to, and now I go on with my life for another week. It's not what the apostles did. It's not what the Spirit did for the apostles. We have what we need. So what is preventing us then? What keeps us afraid? It's nice that we're free to come to our church each weekend and worship here together, but Jesus didn't found the church for buildings. He founded the church to go out. So today, the message to us then is the message that the apostles received from Jesus. Do not be afraid. Peace. And as he said to them at the ascension, I am with you always. We're not lacking anything that we need. So tonight, Jesus sends us out. We're gathered here, as it were, in our little upper room where we celebrate the Eucharist. We receive the beautiful gift of the presence of Jesus. But then he plainly tells us on this Pentecost, now go. Get out of here. That's why we end the Mass with the word go, ite in Latin. Get out. It's time to go on mission. The very last words of the Mass, ite missa est, where we get the word Mass. It means mission. Go, you've got a mission, now get out and do it. That is what we receive tonight on this Feast of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit to carry out our mission. We leave with the words of Jesus that he says to the apostles in the upper room, and he says to us tonight, peace, I am with you, and now as the Father has sent me, so I send you. In the power of the Spirit, we are sent. Jesus sends us. And as we will now be nourished with the Eucharist, at the end of this Mass, we will too be sent. The question is, What will you do with it? What will be your response to the gift of the Spirit that you have been given?